Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
609, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Good to be here, guys. Don't get up, really. It used to be so much fun when I filled in for Steve. You guys were so excited to see me. Now it's like, Pete's here again.
Oh, we're excited to see you.
Yeah, I don't know. This is our excited faces, ready?
Yes. This is your excited faces? This is nice. Rain stopped. Beautiful day today. We ready for the 6 at 6, Jake? Let's do it, brother.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
It's my favorite part of the show besides Dean's segment. 6 at 6, Dr. Ben Carson, the new secretary of HUD, made a speech yesterday where he compared immigrants to slaves.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
I'm not a brain surgeon.
No.
But I don't think I would ever do that. And he is running HUD.
Uh-huh. He is and he did.
He made the speech yesterday, the uproar on social media, whoopee to Sam Jackson, to Chelsea Clinton. The best one was from...
Samuel Jackson?
Sam Jackson, Carter, I can't please. Say on the radio. So I chose the Twitter from Twiggy. Did you read Twiggy's?
No, I didn't see hers.
Ben Carson is proof anyone really could become a brain surgeon.
Ah, that's a good one.
It was a good one.
That is a good one.
Ben Carson comparing immigrants to slaves.
It's unfathomable. It really is. I don't see how you can confuse the two, but again, I was going to say maybe he's new to the position, which he is, but that has nothing to do with history.
I want you to think about the dumbest people you went to college with.
Yeah, I can think of
They now run the country. House Republicans unveiled their long-awaited plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. It's basically scrapping the mandate that nearly all Americans have health insurance, replacing it with the system of tax credits aimed at getting Americans to purchase health care on the open market,
which
sounds a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to get passed?
I don't know. I think the biggest glitch is that in 2020, states adding Medicaid recipients will no longer get the additional federal money that Obamacare initially provided. I don't see how it's going to better anything, but we'll see.
This is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
A big fight.
Big time.
President Trump revised his travel ban, removing Iraq from the list, leaving 6 other countries. So we have Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Iraq removed from the list. Current visa holders no longer affected. Refugees already granted asylum will be allowed. And Syrian refugees barred temporarily, not indefinitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's basically it.
Here's the thing. It's better. Is it perfect? No. But it is, at least they were starting to remove some of the countries. There were so many problems. It was rolled out so quickly before.
They didn't take their time.
Exactly.
And it goes into effect next Thursday.
Right. A week from Thursday.
So why on a Thursday?
I don't know.
I thought that
I
was
know.
Odd.
It is strange.
Guys, 16th. We're going to give you a few days. We're not going to start it on a Monday.
Right.
We're going to start it on next Thursday, right before St. Patrick's Day.
Again, a little bit better than the last time,
yes.
Which was the day before. This is
well, they announced it. It was like 2 days later, and they put together this plan. Okay. If you're the press secretary of the United States, what do you do?
Quit.
You talk to the press, right? You meet with the press on a daily basis. You answer the press's questions in front of a television camera. Monday was the 7th straight day that Mr. Sean Spicer declined to hold a televised White House press briefing. No cameras.
And can we ask why?
They haven't answered that question.
I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Guys, listen, we're angry at the press. No cameras.
He said
can't
that,
do it.
He said that they're doing more of these. You know, after you go to a news event and you usually go around and talk to the mayor or whoever it might be, they call it a gaggle.
Yep.
There's other terms for it, too. But they call it a gaggle. He said they're holding more of those now, which I don't quite see. I mean,
no cameras. When's it going to end?
I don't know.
Okay. Number 5, the 6 at 6. There was an Airbnb listing in New York that offered luxury accommodations, great views of Midtown New York, and very tight security. Oh, and the Trumps are your neighbors. It was in Trump Tower.
I was going to say, and where would that be?
Airbnb in Trump Tower. Oh, no. They can't do that.
No.
Uh-uh.
No.
All right.
If a regular condo association has limitations, don't you think there'd be some in Trump Tower?
You would think, yeah. Since the First Lady is living there, and the President's in Washington and sometimes in Florida. And finally, the Cubs' Jason Hayward was 0-for-16 in spring training, then got his very first hit, a home run. Dave Ennett?
I think you look at the 0, and he was 0-13 starting the day, I believe. I think you look at that with, I think you just, look at that cautiously because it is spring training, even though obviously
he's
based on last year.
He's 1-for-17.
And I think you also look at a hit or two. He had two hits yesterday.
Okay.
And so I think you
so
look at
that. So he's 2-for-18.
I think you take both numbers. I think you take 18. Both numbers with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is spring training. Let's see if this was
he's
really
going to make $28 million this year.
Going to make that whether he hits or not. That ought to be pointed
Can
out.
Can I say this objectively? Didn't he suck most of last season?
He was terrible.
Until the playoffs?
He was terrible in the playoffs.
He had a great speech in the playoffs.
He
had a great speech.
That
was that's
Listen,
worth
guys,
it to me.
I'm making $20 million a year. I haven't done anything, but you need to go out there and win this.
Now give me my 15 mil.
That's what he's known for.
So basically it was a $20 million speech.
It was.
There you go.
Yes, it was. All right. 6 at 6. 720 WGN, 619. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We forgot to mention Chance the Rapper. I thought you guys may have talked about it yesterday. He gave $1 million.
He made the announcement after we got off the air. Can you believe that?
$1 million.
What a generous. And he said, remember, he held that forum last week in Chicago with the kids where he was just talking to the inner city kids.
Right.
And he said, there's going to be some changes. He kind of alluded to the fact that he was going to be making either a donation or there was going to be some special funding. But $1 million.
What are they going to do with that money? That's the question. Where does that money go?
You know what they need to what they should do is the schools, like, you know, many of the elementary schools and the middle schools are just in desperate need of renovation, repairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, many don't have working bathrooms. I mean, I hate to say that, but friends of mine are teachers, and they'll say we just the bare minimum is what they need to do is refinish many of these schools.
We got a bite from Chance.
As an artist and an after-school teacher, I know the arts are essential. They teach students invaluable lessons like practice makes perfect. That small differences can have large effects, and that collaboration leads to creativity.
What a great representation of Chicago, Chance the Rapper.
Hey, what does the 3 on his hat stand for?
I don't know. I was just going to ask you guys that because I've seen that hat. I saw it twice yesterday. I've seen it 3 times in the last few days. What is the 3? Do we know? Mike, do you?
Oh, because
it's up for the third biggest city in Chicago, or third biggest city in the country, Chicago.
Oh, right, New York, LA, and Chicago.
Okay.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
I thought it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because he's very holy.
Yes. He thanked God. Remember the first
speech
at the Grammys?
Yeah. Nonstop.
Yeah.
Kept going. That was great.
Interesting. That's
Chance
cool.
the Rapper.
Love him.
Ben Carson, you'd think I'd get some text messages? No, Jason Hayward. He was worth every single penny. We won the World Series. 2-for-18, is that right, Dave? Yes, 2-for-18.
Oh, no.
Yesterday when I got the call, we are all on a text thread, and I was at a kids' basketball game, a seventh-grade basketball game, and you were watching...
I was watching the Hamilton documentary.
It was like everybody was doing something completely different.
Right.
But I thought it was odd that Dave Ennett was watching The Bachelor on ABC.
Okay. I just merely addressed a fact in that thread, which was who was the crazy one, and I said who the crazy one was.
Right. Who is the crazy one on The Bachelor?
What's her name?
All of them?
I only
is
know
it Corrine.
Okay. I'm not a regular viewer, but I was sitting in the family room and my wife was
You chimed in
the
right
show,
away
so
when we
watching,
started talking about
was,
The Bachelor.
Yeah, Corrine and the other one they got in a fight, and one of the other ladies there was some show afterwards where they like tell all their secrets. Not a regular.
Bachelor? Oh yeah, Dave, you're funny.
So where's Mary? We need Mary.
I love Dave goes, I don't watch it, and I don't know. But Corrine and the other one got into a fight.
Yeah, well, if you're watching it, it's hard to avoid that. Oh,
Mary watches
The Bachelor.
Don't you?
You don't
no,
watch
Mary
the
Vanderbilt.
Bachelor.
I meant Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Vanderbilt.
I don't watch The Bachelor.
What were you watching?
I was watching Billions.
See.
Okay,
and then we watched the new Faraday.
What is that?
With Phil Mickelson, David Faraday. It's on the Golf Channel.
He's the Irish or Scottish?
David Faraday?
Yeah, former golfer. He's kind of disheveled, but he does a really funny interview.
Yeah, it's a little bit over the top for me now. The first 2 years were better, but we don't need to get into that. I'm also not a Phil Mickelson fan, but besides that, I still watch the show.
What are your go-to shows right now? This Is Us, I think, is the best show on TV.
I don't watch that show.
What do you mean you don't watch it?
I can't watch what everyone else is watching.
What are you talking? It's a great show.
It is great.
You want to jump on.
If you want to cry after every episode, every episode is like
you cry.
Gut-wrenching, right? Am I wrong?
William's dead. He died. Yeah. Everybody cried.
I don't like that. Those aren't my kind of shows.
It's gut-wrenching. It's a great show. It makes you think about your family.
And you know the dad died, but you don't know how.
He hasn't died yet.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Milo Ventimiglia. Is that his last name? He's fantastic.
So likable.
Mandy Moore, lover. Dave, you don't watch This Is Us?
I have watched it. Yeah, it's a good show.
Best show on TV.
It's not something that I necessarily have watched every week, and I didn't know that so-and-so died and so-and-so. So now when
I
watch it.
He's way behind,
That they're going to die. It's no secret. Right. If you're watching the show, you know they're going to end up
dead.
He's
on a respirator. Yeah, you know he's...
I like to watch Beat Bobby Flay. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, I like that show, too.
Okay. My son watches that. We watch all the shows on the
Food Chef just ended, even though we didn't talk about it once last week. The best finale they've ever had.
We didn't talk about that.
I love Padma.
What about Billions?
I watch Billions.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it just one season in?
It just started the second season.
It is so good. It's good like Homeland, except for you can sleep after.
Oh, I love Homeland. That would be my go-to.
Those two are my favorites, Billions and Homeland.
Homeland jumped the shark last year.
It came back two years ago.
No, last year I thought it was terrible.
It was bad.
I liked it last year.
Two years ago, it wasn't
as good as it is now, because now it's in New York, and there was just another...
Dave's behind.
Like two seasons behind.
I'm two episodes behind.
He's caught up on The Bachelor, but he's behind on Homeland.
I'm not caught up. I happen to be watching last night.
Homeland, Carrie's always going to have a breakdown.
I know. Every episode she's going to cry.
She freaks out all the time. And then there's Saul, Mandy Patinkin, who's angry at
somebody. If you're going to nitpick about a show.
I mean, I liked it at first. I thought it was the best show on TV, first season.
No, trust me. This is the second best season after number one.
Third season.
Your attention span probably isn't good for Homeland.
Well,
you got to really stick to the storyline.
I did. But last season, I didn't have any vested interest in any of the actors on the show.
I get too frustrated. Like, Dara Dahl, I don't think should be the head of the CIA.
Oh, he's a bad guy,
He's a terrible person, and I'm like, wake up, everybody in the show.
Cochran told us yesterday, though, he's back in on Billions because he bailed on it last year.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's back in.
God, he didn't like some of the scenes between Paul Giamatti and his wife.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Some of the kinky stuff.
Really?
Is that true?
Paul. Yeah.
Is there nudity in Billions?
Not really.
No, okay. But they...
It was a little bit weird last year, but you had to just kind of ignore it, but now it's gone.
Steve couldn't ignore it.
Paul Giamatti in a sex scene. He's a great actor, but I don't know if I want to see
it. Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe like a sex club or something.
So Billions. Anything else I'm missing? I watched Stranger Things. I know season two is going to
show up. You guys are going to make fun of me, but The Good Life is so good.
Well, you're so biased because you're obsessed with The Good Wife.
I loved The Good Wife, and The Good Life is
even better. The titles are too similar. I thought it was the same show when I saw the billboards.
But you got to pay for it, though. That's the only thing.
What do you mean you have to pay for it?
It's $6.99 a month. You have to pay. And that's with commercials. If you don't want commercials, it's $9.99.
What?
Wait a second.
Where are you watching it?
on All Access. It's online only. But it's so good. It's so
worth
it.
It's too much work.
Fans of the show.
It's too much work. I could barely get Netflix.
Modern Family is the other one that we watch.
What is it?
Modern Family.
Modern Family. Come on. That jumped a shark years ago.
Oh, my God. You're so wrong.
Yes, it's done.
Catherine, my stepdaughter, she thinks Pat is Phil Dunphy. And she even in her phone, it no longer says dad. It says Phil Dunphy.
No.
It's the contact name.
See,
I can see that.
Phil bugs me, and I love Pat. So I can't see the correlation.
They're exactly the same. They're dorks that think they're cool dads. So.
But Pat is a cool guy with guys.
No, Pat. Well, maybe. He's a dork, though.
Pat
in general.
Was cool.
I love Pat.
No,
he's my guy.
Pat's at home.
I hung out
right
with him last Wednesday at the Hawks game.
Yeah, he mentioned that.
He had a nice blue suit on.
He's in his Tommy John's right now.
You know what?
Holding his coffee, going, "What is my wife saying about me?"
I can say this because he spoke to a large crowd yesterday and told this story. And he does spinning, spin classes now.
Of course.
And he was running a little late and he has the spin shoes. And so he ran into the bathroom and it was wet on the floor the other day. And he slipped at the spin studio and fell and hit his face on a container. So he has a black eye right now. And he's like a big guy. So when he fell, the owner came in and she's like, oh my God. And she gave him Advil. He still did the class. But that's what happens when you're almost 48 is you slip in your spin shoes.
Stop it.
Oh, poor.
Why is he running in spin shoes?
He ran to the bathroom to squeeze it in.
Gosh.
But he gets paranoid about clipping in if once the lights go down.
You don't need
the
clips.
So he was trying to go quickly.
Well, I take the class. I don't wear the shoes.
He wears the shoes and the clips.
Clipping in is the feet?
There's shoes. Into the pedals.
Yes, yeah. You clip into the pedals.
The reason why he likes
Phil
those
Dunphy.
Are for hardcore.
Sorry,
he likes the spin shoes because he doesn't like the sound of the laces beating against the pedals.
Oh, for God's sakes! Now you're losing me,
Pat.
I thought he was cool.
Sorry, Pat, you're done.
But the Tommy John underwear, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we had that conversation.
Tommy John's,
Why do guys talk about underwear? Tommy John's.
It's
the greatest.
Sure.
I'm wearing them right now.
I don't talk about.
You just talk about.
You wearing them?
Bachelor.
You got some Tommy John's on.
That brand?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, we got to get you some Tommy John's.
Do you guys want me to step up?
I will absolutely endorse Tommy John's.
We doing a little
if they just send me product.
Evidently, you're going to.
Mike, can you grab that clip?
You're trying pretty hard.
We send it to Tommy John.
A little Paul Giamatti in Billions. Should I just leave the room? Or?
We have the big story coming up next. More about the immigration ban on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the car.
641, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. This is Chicago to a T. You're always one person away. I know this Kid of the Week. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize a youth that goes above and beyond for their community. You can nominate someone for the Kid of the Week. Just go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry. And this week, our Kid of the Week, she actually sang in front of me at a fundraiser last year at the Montgomery Club. It's Kaylin Doyle. Kaylin, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today.
I know your aunt very, very well, Amada Giordano, and of course your Uncle Dean, and your mother sat in front of me, Michelle, at a Bruce Springsteen concert, and I got to know her. This is Chicago to a T. I didn't even know you were going to be the Kid of the Week. I got the call last night. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell everyone your story, first of all? How many siblings you have? Tell us about your family.
Well, I live with my mom and my dad, and I have one sibling. I have a sister. Her name's Kira. And basically, my life started out with me. I had autism by the time my parents knew when I was at the age of like 4, I think. And it started out as a long, frustrating journey for me, like going to therapy, like learning how to talk. And then, and like year by year, I was starting to get better. And that's what got me to today of talking now and like socializing with others.
So you were behind in your class for years, and you were going through therapy, and last year they told her story, not a dry eye in the house, and then you sang a beautiful song, and everyone was weeping as you're singing and smiling at the Montgomery Club, and you couldn't have been more gracious and beautiful, and your voice is just amazing. I loved it. How long have you been singing?
I think like 5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years.
So cool.
You think you'll take that maybe to The Voice on NBC down the road?
Probably.
Oh, cool. And we got one of the first interviews. Look at that.
How about that? And you're in eighth grade, is that right?
Yes.
And you just got accepted to high school.
Yes, for one art school for a Luther North and another art school for Shy Arts.
Well, congratulations. I mean, this is a big deal for you and your family, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. I mean, that is great. And I just explain to people, you started out going through therapy as a kid. You were diagnosed as autistic. How hard was it for you over the years, especially when people hear the term autistic? They suddenly freak out, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So how has that been for you as a kid to get through this and fight through it and get accepted to this great high school?
Well,
has it been a tough road for you?
Yeah, it was really hard. I practiced a lot, and sometimes, like, I tried to make a new friend, but sometimes they would just, like, run away.
Right. See, kids don't know how to react to that, do they?
Mm. Yeah, no.
Kaylin, what's your favorite song to sing? Is there a particular one that you, if someone just said you can sing whatever you want in front of your next audience, what would it be?
Well, I know a lot of good songs, but it would be hard to pick one to sing in front of.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It would be, yeah.
And can you imagine you're at a fundraiser and you're, you know, Michelle gets involved in this and she's like, hey, why don't you sing a song? I don't know, Mom. I don't know if I want to do that in front of everybody. Okay, I think I'll do it. So, you know, you're going to graduate from eighth grade. When do you graduate? In May? Do you have anything planned for the summer? Any trips?
June.
In June? Okay. Are you going anywhere for the summer? Eighth grade summer is pretty big.
I'm going to Paris.
Oh, of course you are. Paris. I go to Peoria. This kid's going to Paris.
Good for her.
You're going to Paris with your family?
Yep.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Actually my graduation gift.
Graduation. Nice. You know what my parents gave me for graduation? A suitcase. Here you go, son.
Hey,
happy graduation.
I got a suitcase, too.
And a clock radio for my grandma. Make sure you wake up, catch your flight, and get out of here. All right. That's nice. And what do you want to study? I know it's you're in eighth grade, but you go off to high school. Do you know what you want to do in college yet? Do you want to become a singer? Do you want to be in the arts? What do you want to do?
I still want to be a singer.
A singer. You have an amazing voice. I'm telling you. Absolutely fantastic and a wonderful story. And how is your mother and father doing?
Oh, they're doing great.
Okay. Well, congratulations. You are the kid of the week. What do we have for the kid of the week?
We have wonderful prizes.
Including the Amazon gift card and the Lou Malnati's pizza. Yeah. Boy, there's nothing like that. That's great. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kaylin. Congratulations, okay? And say hello to your parents.
I will. And have a great day.
You too. Take care. She's so cool. Sweetheart. I mean, it's a wonderful story. Diagnosed autism.
Yeah.
And she goes through therapy, and they have this huge fundraiser last year, and now she's accepted into this this great program at this high school.
Yeah, and this program, I was reading the notes that you were just were telling her about. 1,100 kids auditioned for 5 different conservatories. They only accept 160, and she's one of 15 accepted into the freshman program.
Pretty impressive.
That's fantastic.
Her parents, Peter and Michelle Doyle, and of course her aunt and uncle, Dean and Amata Giordano, who I've known forever.
How funny is that?
I didn't even know I was going to fill in today, and here we are.
That is Chicago, though.
It is. You're always one person away from somebody.
Yeah.
But how random is that? Kid of the week. I know I'm the only one that's really excited about this, but I'm
cool.
So proud of this girl. It's just so cool to see this. You know, you go to an autism fundraiser and you meet her. I never met her before. I knew her parents. And then she sings, and you hear her story, and it's like, oh, my God.
I would love to see her sing in person. I know.
Wow.
Bring the Kleenex, right?
Yes. Very good stuff.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes.
God, I love Van Morrison.
Fantabulous night to make.
Never seen him in concert.
Well, you're about to, though.
Always on my list to see Van Morrison in concert. How about seeing Van Morrison in concert in Ireland?
Okay.
I am heading out to Ireland with WGN for 9 days in August. 9 days in August. We take off August 10th to Dublin, Derry, and more. We're going to spend the night in a castle. The highlight is day 4 out of 9 days in Belfast. We're going to see an intimate concert with Van Morrison. Only 350 seats. He does this once a year. Seats are very limited.
Yeah.
And we have them.
How cool is that?
That's nice, Pete.
Do you have the whole, all 350? I mean, do you have all the tickets?
I don't think so.
Okay. You just have a little block.
We have a little block of tickets.
Are you in the front?
I hope so.
That is so cool.
If you would like to go to Ireland with me,
yeah,
and the people here at WGN Radio, SteveBertrandTravel.com. BERTRAND, SteveBertrandTravel.com.
Thanks for the offer.
SteveBertrandTravel.com. Ireland for 9 days in August.
Andrea and I will be delighted to join you. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, can we be your guests? This is wonderful.
Yeah, it's very generous of you.
I'm in.
Bertrand calls me up last week, and I was stunned. I'm like, Bertrand, you never call me. What's going on here?
Did you think he was like punking you?
No, well, I didn't know why he was calling. Well, he sends me a text. He's like, Pete, is this you? And I go, yeah, man. Because I had Bertrand's number for some reason. And then he calls me and says, hey, we're putting together this trip to Ireland to see Van Morrison and hang out in Ireland. Would you like to go? And I'm like, what?
Now, wait, isn't this your home county? I mean, I know you're of Irish descent, obviously.
Well, Lebanese, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but McMurray.
Sure. Absolutely.
So where's your... So who's... Oh, you're not?
Absolutely it is.
Oh.
The Lebanese leprechaun, right?
There you go. Well, you have green pants. You got the whole green leprechaun.
Do I wear the
outfit?
Kilt over?
Yeah.
Do I do that?
I'd
pack the kilt?
Sure. You have to pack the kilt.
I mean, 9 days in Ireland.
This is going
to
be
This
awesome.
Has always been on my bucket list, to go to Ireland. I've never been to Paris, too. That's on my list. But seeing Van Morrison, too, I'm killing two birds with one stone here.
Are you going to get to do others, like see the Blarney Stone and go to Dublin, and you're going to do other, a whole bunch of stuff?
There is an entire list of things that we're going to see. They cover just about everything. Steve said, I've done these trips years and years. This could be one of the best trips ever.
Oh, that's so cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And so you went to Greece. How great are these trips?
Oh, my gosh. I went to Greece last year. It was 10 days. And then we had an extension for Santorini. It was wonderful. The hotels are fabulous.
That's what he said. These are all high-end hotels.
These are great hotels. And the people, I'm telling you, our listeners are the best. Our group formed friendships within the group, and we still all email. A couple of us, we've met for dinner, and you know,
that's what
just
Steve
a
said.
Great group.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
He was having dinner Saturday night with some friends he met on a trip.
Isn't that cool?
I'm excited.
You're
I really
have a
am.
Great time. And everything, the best part too, pretty much everything is planned. You know,
right.
So you don't have to worry about, oh, should I take this tour or this tour? Oh, I want to see this.
Or transportation. Everything is taken care of start to finish.
Right. You don't wait in line because your tickets are purchased ahead of time, which is, it's just wonderful. You're going to have a great time.
I'm telling you, 9 days in Ireland in August. You'll be ready after the summer. Let me get away for a few days. How about Ireland?
Oh,
maybe
so
I can
green.
Do some golfing in Ireland, Dave. Golfing in
I thought
Ireland.
You're not a golfer.
I am absolutely a golfer. Look at this body.
You have to play. If you go to Ireland.
Okay. I better not say what I was about to say.
Druids. Druids is a great golf
I don't know what that means.
Play.
Do we need to dump that?
No,
we
druids.
Need to beat that
it's
out?
It's a guy.
Is
he's,
that
like,
okay?
He's like a sorcerer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because when you walk in, there's a big stone picture, a big stone carving of him.
Dublin, Derry, and more in the highlight day 4 in Belfast. We're going to see an intimate concert with Van Morrison. For more information, heading to Ireland with WGN August 10th, go to SteveBertrandTravel.com or you can call 847-606-6065. Again, it's partying with me in Ireland. How great is that? We stay in a castle.
I'm taking a group of listeners to Rockford.
I'm in.
Wait,
let's go. State and Alpine, baby.
Take a group of listeners to a Northwestern game. Okay. That would be fun.
Hey, one
that's
trip.
Someplace I'm already going.
One
right?
trip at a time. One trip at a time.
You sure you want to go? My birthday is the next day. You're going to miss a big party I'm going to be having.
Are you a Leo?
Yeah.
No wonder we get along.
That's right.
Heading to Ireland for 9 days, SteveBertrandTravel.com, or you can go to my Facebook page. All the information's right there. Just search Pete McMurray on Facebook. 6:58 at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We all share a common denominator, and that is getting our kids to the next level.
Cheers to that.
I might not know this chick, Heather, but I do know her ex-husband.
Did you it was good.
You know she was not invited. This is the one that needs to be escorted.
No, I'm not leaving.
You're going to get punched in the mouth. You run your mouth.
Do I
women and friendships are complicated.
7:10, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. There's a new show on Lifetime called Bringing Up Ballers, where they follow families trying to get their kids into college and ultimately in the NBA. And one of the stars of the show from Chicago is on the phone with us. It is Peyton Wilborn. Peyton, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I saw one of the episodes, and I have many questions for you. First of all, you You will do whatever it takes to get your son George into a D1 school and ultimately in the NBA. Is that right?
Absolutely, I sure will. As you can see, you watched the first episode, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know,
he has six.
If you got to kiss the coach, you got to kiss the coach.
All right, we're going to get to that in a second. But first of all, George seems like a really good kid. He loves his mother. He's a great basketball player. 6'3". He's got six Division I offers. Is that right?
That's correct.
And have you narrowed it down?
I have.
Really?
Can
you give me the top three? Can you give me the top three?
Okay, I can give you a Valparaiso.
Okay.
I can give you a Virginia West. Okay. West Virginia, rather. And San Antonio.
San Antonio. You wanted him to stay near home. You didn't want him to leave. Valpo is very close.
It's very close. I could drive my car there.
Yes, you could.
The rest of them, I have to get on the plane.
And just to let everybody know, you drive a Hummer. Is that right?
I do. This is my third one.
Her third Hummer. Why does such a beautiful, petite young woman need such a big car?
I like everything big.
The show is called
Get Your Mind Out of the Gutter. Get Your Mind Out of the Gutter.
The show is called Bringing Up Ballers on Lifetime, which leads me to, you'll do anything to get your son to a Division I school and ultimately in the NBA. You are dating the coach.
My Ken. I love my Ken.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't say dating the coach. I would say admiring the coach.
Now, do you like the coach, or are you using the coach to get your son a great offer?
Both.
And is
I'm greedy like that.
Is the coach okay with that?
Have you seen me on the show?
Yes, I think he's okay with it.
Okay.
You were in his
okay then.
The episode that I saw, you were in his office, and the son does this. Well, the son has to know now since it's been on TV. Your son knows, George. That you're dating.
Well, he knows now. He's like, oh my God, Mom. Really, Mom? I mean, I have enough skills. I don't need you to do that. I'm like, yeah, but he's cute, isn't he? Mom, he's like, I'm about to have to keep you away because you don't know how to act. You do too much.
So they're in the office, and you have Peyton and her son George sitting in front of the coach, and they're talking about college, and the coach says, hey, why don't you give us a second? And then you start talking, and then it gets a little sexual, and he says, as you get up, walk slow towards the door so I can stare at you. And I was uncomfortable.
Yeah. who was uncomfortable? You?
A little bit, sure. It's your son's
Why?
Coach.
Why?
It's your son's coach.
Well, he's still a human being. That's just a job he does.
So your son, he's going to get that offer. He's going to get the scholarship. Let's say he goes
to... first of all, he's going to get the offer because of his skills. What's wrong with a little extra? So you mean to tell me just because he's George, he will be George's formal coach because George will be leaving, going to school. So, I mean, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not denying that he has skills.
He's still human.
Yes. Well, George is what? He's seventh in the state in players. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So people should know George Wilborn. All right. And the show is called Bringing...
Well, they do. He was nominated for All-American McDonald.
And let's say he goes to college, Valpo. Are you going to get cozy with the college coach?
Oh, no. I'm not just sleeping around. No. Now, once I do my part as a mother, then he got to really take it from there. Oh, no.
What is the reaction that you're getting from people in Chicago about the show?
Well, everyone in Chicago knows, and they know I'm flirtatious. But I'm not. First of all, I'm not gonna bite at anything. I just got a big mouth. That's it.
Right.
And they know that I'm flirtatious. They know who I am.
Okay.
And they think they love it. They say that, you know, they say, oh, that's Peyton. That's just she ain't gonna bust a great.
It's all a game.
It's all an act.
Now, what do you think of the other women on the show? There's two other women. They call themselves the Twin Towers.
What do you want to know about the Twin Towers?
I don't want to know anything. I just want your opinion. I feel like...
I mean,
there should be a competition. I mean, of course, you want to look great on the show, right?
Yeah, but, okay, so should there be a competition between me and the Twin Towers, or should it be a competition between the two Twin Towers?
If I was on the show, I would want to shine if I was a mother. Do you feel like...
As a mother.
Well, my presence already shine. The Twin Towers can't touch me.
You need to watch the show.
Period.
This is like Real Housewives with basketball.
Everybody's flirting with everybody, and all they want to do is get their kid to college.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You've seen the show, right?
Yes.
Did I shine?
You did shine. You stood out. That's for sure.
Careful.
Thank you.
Yes,
so
you did.
I think I did my part. So the Twin Towers, please, they can't touch me. But I love them, you know?
Yep. Peyton, when is George going to play next if people want to go see him play?
I don't want to give too much up right now. I just want you all to continue watching the show because it's all going to be aired on the show. And if I tell you about it, then you won't watch the show. If I see you in the street, you might say, I watched the show. You really didn't because I told you what the show was really all about. So you got to watch the show and see it.
Lifetime bringing up ballers. Peyton Wilborn. Thanks for coming on, Peyton.
Thank you, baby.
All right, take care.
Next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Central Time.
9 p.m. on Wednesday nights on Lifetime. There you go, bringing up ballers.
Okay, so she's sleeping with the coach?
Well, I don't know if she's sleeping with the coach, but yeah, she flirts with the coach.
Okay.
Yeah, her ultimate goal, and you got to respect this as a mother, she just wants to get her kid into college, first of all.
Okay, but flirting with the coach isn't necessarily, I would say, the honorable thing to do.
As you watch the show, you get to know Peyton's personality, and she'll do anything to get her son into college and then ultimately in the NBA.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Hoop dreams for sure.
Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. Lifetime, Wednesday nights at 9.
Yeah.
723, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 312-981-7200. Phones are already ringing. People know. Time for the Hawk Riddle, which you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks take on Anaheim on Thursday, and you'll be entered to win 4-season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, 4 Seasons. Okay. All right. Hawk Riddle. Are we ready?
Speaking of.
Are you ready?
There's a little preview.
Are we ready?
You seem very... this is a big deal.
This is a big
deal. The Hawk Riddle is not to be taken lightly.
Hawk Riddle. In 1930, I opened my doors 4 million square feet on 25 floors. The title of largest when open bestowed before 2008, a separate zip code. What is it?
You should read it again.
I'm going to. The Hawker Riddle. In 1930, I opened my doors 4 million square feet on 25 floors. The title of largest when open bestowed before 2008, a separate zip code.
It's very limericky today.
I think you get it at separate zip code. Come on.
It's huge.
Come on.
Do we just give it away?
312-981-7200. Do
I
we
think,
all know?
I think as soon as you said 4 million square feet, I think that gave it away. Yes. Unless someone knew it opened in 1930. If it isn't it.
I don't want to give it away.
I'm not saying a word. Yeah.
Dave, you wrote this? You know what it
no,
is?
No, I did not write it.
Okay.
I do know what it is, but I didn't write it.
All right.
Do you know because you looked at the answer?
Yes.
Okay.
But I would have known.
Yeah.
Okay. Pair of tickets on the line. Hawks taking on Anaheim Thursday, and you're entered to win 4 season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, 4 Seasons, which is huge. 4 tickets for all of next season?
I mean, you can guess.
I love that.
Call in and be
good. How about just the Anaheim game? They're going for 8 in a row.
I was there last Wednesday for the Penguins, and it's electric. It's fun, and they're winning. I mean, they're winning, and it's fun to watch. It's great. We got to take a break. Are we doing traffic, or did we do traffic? I can't remember. All right, let's take a break. It's 720 WGN. Time for the Hawker Riddle. Pair of tickets on the line Thursday night against Anaheim, and you'll be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. In 1930, I opened my doors 4 million square feet on 25 floors. The largest, the title of largest when open bestowed before 2008, a separate zip code. Let's go to Catherine in Naperville. Catherine, what's the answer?
Well, it's Merchandise Mart.
The Merchandise Mart is correct. The Merchandise Mart, I worked in there. It's huge. Absolutely
humongous.
It is humongous.
Huge. It's a cool place. It's a very cool place.
Don't they do like 5Ks in the Merchandise Mart just by basic? No, I'm serious. I think they did a 5K recently, and you go from, you run around a floor, and then you run up the stairs, and then you go.
You absolutely can do that. Yes.
Because it would take, 3 miles to go through the whole thing.
But going up like 25 floors in a stairwell, I mean, it's not like climbing the presidential towers or anything where it's 45
there
floors.
There he is right there. Four. Uh-huh. Its own zip code. That's how big it is.
I know, it's huge.
Yes. Catherine, hold on. Pair of tickets. You're going Thursday night. How about that?
That's awesome. Thanks so much. I'm really excited.
Congratulations. Thanks for listening. Hold on the line. Okay.
They're only going for 13 out of 14. On Thursday.
God, it's so impressive.
It's really good.
I hope we can sustain this the entire month.
Well, it's going to get tough because they're going to play like 17 games in 31 days, I believe.
Right. And then when did the playoffs start? The second week in April?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The last regular season game is April 8th, so middle of the following week.
God, they're having a good time. I'm telling you, I had the best seats I've ever had in my entire life, and you could see the faces on the players. I was in the lower bowl instead of the upper tank, finally. Mm-hmm. And they're smiling and laughing on the ice. It's good to see. They're enjoying it.
Did they know you were sitting down there?
I think so. Yeah. When Kaner got the hat trick last week, he pointed to me.
Yeah.
McMurray! My man! Yeah!
Did you throw your hat?
I wasn't wearing a hat.
I would never throw my hat because I wouldn't want to lose my hat.
You know, I was thinking about that. I don't think I'd throw my hat.
Hats aren't cheap anymore.
No. You're paying, $25, $30 for a hat.
Yeah, and if you get a big fuzzy hat, you don't want to lose that.
No. People throw their hats, though.
Not as many as they used to.
Okay.
They should throw something else, like roses, like they do for ice skaters.
What do they do with all those hats that they take off the ice? They scoop them up.
They do.
That'd be a good Hawkopedia. What do they do with the hats?
We'll do that. We'll do that. Our next
Hawkopedia. We should donate them to charity.
Yeah, they we'll talk about that. They probably do.
We'll talk about
that. Or maybe
that.
They give them back to the
they
people.
They could always throw octopi.
Oh, yeah.
How do you carry that in your pocket?
It's
can you do that anymore?
Disgusting. I don't know if Detroit still allows it. When they're going to a new arena, so I'm sure they're not going to. Well, they probably will. It's a tradition.
Instead of octopus, can you throw calamari on there?
No.
Maybe
no,
some.
Fried
no.
with a little lemon?
Yes. A little lemon. Lightly
sauce.
Breaded. Yeah. Yes. At 7:40, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Coming up, we're going to talk to Owen Mahan. He's the 9-year-old boy that was burned over 98% of his body that Steve and the entire gang here have been talking about. He wanted letters. They've set up a GoFundMe page, and it's just been absolutely wonderful.
What a great kid. We've been sending him cards and stuff, so I said, just go to the dollar store, because he loves to get mail.
I heard you say that the other day. I didn't even think about
that. Isn't
that
a cool idea? So I sent a little St. Patrick's Day card with the green envelope.
That's great.
Hopefully he got it and liked it.
If you want to send Owen a card, that's all he wants. He doesn't want anything else. He just wants a card. Owen Mahan, M-A-H-A-N. His address is 302 Brixton, B-R-I-X-T-O-N, Woods, E Drive, Pittsburgh, Indiana, 46167. Okay. I blanked on IN. I'm like, wait a second. I couldn't think of Indiana. I just got the call last night. Cochran is sick today.
Our neighbors to the east. You know those folks.
I know. Sometimes you just kind of blank on things. That happened. All right. Losing my mind here. Let's bring up Owen's mother, Susan. Susan, this is the first time that we've talked, and I got to tell you, I just love this story. You have such a wonderful boy.
I certainly do. He's amazing.
Can you tell people his story? You adopted him when he was three. Just real quick to get people up to speed that don't know what's going on.
Okay. I had become Owen's foster parent when he was three. He was burnt 98% of his body. He's made amazing strides with this. He has at least two surgeries a year until he stops growing. So I initially fostered him, and then he came up for adoption, and I just couldn't let him go.
And just a lot of love in that household. And there's a GoFundMe page right now. If you go to GoFundMe, just search Owen Mahan. You are already up to $13,266 last time we looked.
Yeah, that's correct. That was all set up by a wonderful lady named Bessie Shepherd. Unbeknownst to me, it was a big surprise when I found out she had already set that in motion.
I've known Betsy forever. Betsy is a very good friend of mine. She does PR work here in Chicago, and she told me about your story early on. I'm like, I've never heard of this kid. And that's just what Betsy does. She puts people together, and she tries to raise money for great causes. And when I heard about this, and of course Cochran just ran with it, it's like, we all want to help. But ultimately, you just wanted one thing. Owen just wanted to get cards.
Yes, Owen loves to get mail. And let me tell you, this WGN and the people of Chicago have been amazing. We've got a total of 1,873 cards, 314 boxes of envelopes to date. That includes Jason McKee sent us an autographed jersey.
Oh, God, is that awesome. That's
and
great
the
stuff.
The Bears have sent a blanket and towels and their banners. People are sending him jokes and stories. One lady by the name of Sherry sends him multiple cards a day to make sure he gets enough mail. It's just been amazing. And the smile I see on his face when the mailman comes, some days the mail lady doesn't even try to put our mail in our mailbox. They bring it to us in totes.
Oh, God, that is absolutely fantastic. And,
you know, he enjoys hearing the jokes. He likes hearing some people are sending funny stories about themselves. We even have some of your schools around the Chicago area that are sending cards, especially a school, Harlem High School, is sending jokes, and kids are taking times out of their day at school. Teachers are having them write us notes and cards.
Wow.
It's just been amazing.
People are sending a lot of love. And how is he doing? Did he just have a surgery? Does he have a surgery coming up? What's happening with Owen?
We are almost 4 weeks out from having a surgery. Oh, I forgot to mention that Chicago Fire and Chicago PD also took time out of their filming to send him videos.
You're kidding. The TV shows?
No. The TV shows, yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, they took time, and you got a Deerfield Fire Department also has sent him a video.
Everybody wants to help just to put a smile on his face.
It's been amazing. So we'll go to his surgery. We did do the amputation of the right leg, so he's 4 inches below the knee. We were able to keep that knee joint, which will be very important in getting him a good prosthetic fit and walking.
Right.
So this surgery, though, took a lot out of him. In addition to amputating that leg, we did 4 grafts on his body where he was really tight and was having trouble opening his legs up.
Right.
So we did some major grafts. Grafting also was taking that leg off. So this surgery took quite a bit out of him. He's doing really well. He'll go back to school tomorrow, but he is tiring really easy. There's a lot to do after surgery. We have to strengthen all of his lower muscles. All of his core strength needs strengthened. His trunk muscles are really weak. So we have a lot of exercises that we do on a daily basis.
Okay. Susan, is he still love getting the cards and everything from everybody and the notes?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, he does.
Okay, good.
Yes, he does. And it does help to look at the notes and stuff while we're doing our exercises.
Oh, good.
Some of the exercises are painful because he's tight and we're stretching muscles that he's not used to using.
Sure. It's rough stuff.
So, you know, that does help. Yep, we got a long ways to go. And our next surgery to amputate the other leg, we're looking at the end of May, first part of June for that one. We've just got to give him a little bit of a break and let his body heal longer than we initially anticipated.
Now, is that going to be under the knee too?
That will be 4 inches under the left knee.
Okay.
And then we're hoping that we're already starting exercising on that part of his body too. So we're hoping by August, Owen will have his new legs and be up and walking. That's our goal.
And just to let people know, throughout this whole ordeal, he's had such a great attitude, hasn't he?
Oh, my goodness, he has. He woke up from, we tried to keep him asleep at the hospital, but he kept waking up, which meant we had to increase the medicine a little bit more. But he would wake up and demand to see the doctor because he wanted those dressings changed.
Good for
him. He also wasn't supposed to get out of bed on his own. And one morning after I'd gone to the bathroom, I'd come downstairs, and he had gotten himself out of bed. He's like, I just didn't want to bother you. I'm a big boy. I can do it myself.
Oh, God.
He's the best.
But he does it with a smile on his face.
Of course.
And he's forged a bunch of great friendships with the cast and his friends from Chicago Fire, too. So I'm sure they're checking up on him and everything. Yeah.
Yes, he has. Chicago Fire is amazing. Yeah.
Well, Susan.
Phil Minoso was our first contact there, and I just love him to pieces.
That's great.
Well, Susan, hold on. We're going to take a look at traffic. We're going to take a quick break, and we want to talk to Owen to see how he's doing, okay?
He's sitting here and anxious to talk to you.
He's like, Mom, enough. Enough talking. Yeah.
Tell him this is what we call the teaser in radio. All right, let's go back to talking to Susan Mahan. And we get Owen on the line. Owen is a 9-year-old boy, burned over 98% of his body. All he wants is cards and letters from you. You can send him a letter or a card at 302 Brixton Woods E Drive, Pittsboro, Indiana, 46167. And Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can we talk to Owen now?
You sure can. Here he is.
Hello.
Owen, what's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Good.
Owen, how about these cards? Are you blown away by all these cards you're receiving?
Yes.
What's your favorite one so far?
The orange joke.
Yeah. See, I told you the colored envelopes are cool.
So, Owen, is that what you want? You want the joke ones with the cards? You want the jokes?
Those are my favorite ones.
Those are his favorite, yeah.
Okay.
Those
all right. Cool. Do you have any jokes you can tell us?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Orange, you glad getting out?
This gets great.
And you have an autographed bear jersey from Jason McKee, is that right?
Yep.
Are you wearing that right now?
Nope.
All right.
Maybe you should frame it.
Jason's a good guy.
Yeah.
Owen, God bless you, buddy. We're rooting for you. And if you need anything else, we're going to continue to send those cards and letters to you, okay?
Thank you.
How are you feeling right now?
Good.
Okay. Let me talk to your mom again. Thanks, Owen.
Thank you very much for the cards.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Bye, Owen.
Bye.
Oh, he's so cute.
Okay, I'm back now.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a big smile on his face that you can't see.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I love him.
Yes. Susan, we'll continue to plug this, and if people want to donate to the GoFundMe page, just search Owen Mahan on GoFundMe, and of course, we'll continue to give out your address, okay?
Okay, thank you very much to everyone that has sent anything.
All right.
Words can't express my gratitude for that, and just the smile that it's put on his face, and it has really helped him through a tough surgery this time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. Keep us updated, okay?
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good day.
Bye, Take Susan. Care.
When I first heard about this story,
mm-hmm.
I was just blown away.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
I mean, tearing up,
yeah.
Listening
yeah.
to you guys that morning.
Yeah, and people, people are emailing and texting saying, can you give out the address again? Give out the address. So it's, you know, we're going to
keep... Only once is a note. Yeah. Send him a joke.
Right, we're going to keep giving it out, too. So keep sending him little notes and cards, and the joke cards. He likes those.
I got to find a joke card now.
Yeah, if you go to the kids section, can
I just print out a joke online and put it in the card? Why are you giving me that look?
I don't know. Maybe I would just buy the card. I wouldn't write your own material. I would stick with the Hallmark.
Owen Mahan, Mahan, 302 Brixton, Brixton, Woods E Drive, Pittsboro, Indiana, 46167. And thanks again to Betsy Shepherd, who I've known forever. Betsy does such great work in Chicago, and she introduced all of us to this story. And of course, we just ran with it, and it's just wonderful. All right, let's take another break at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
8:11, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Steve, hopefully back tomorrow. Let's talk to Dean Richards from WGN. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well, and I'm with you on the hummus, by the way. I heard you and Dave talking hummus in the daily segment, Hummus Talk 720, our new WGN feature. I'm with you. I could eat it. I don't know if I eat it every day, but I could definitely eat it every day. I have some with me this morning I brought in.
I'm trying to be healthier. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, who's a dietitian, the Cubs dietitian, came in the studio a month ago. She's like, you need greens in the morning. So I make hummus on toast with spinach.
That's great.
That sounds delicious.
You guys are so gross.
Come on.
Gross.
Come it's on. Fantastic.
That's nice for a bird.
And then at night, of course, vegetables and hummus before
right.
dinner.
Oh, let's carrots, go. Carrots, a little celery, maybe. Right.
Wow, I'm so bummed I don't live with you guys.
Radish.
radish
is nice.
You put a little radish on there? You're
crazy. I'll slice up a cucumber and dip it, dip
yeah.
it in.
Oh, yeah.
Dip
getting at it.
Living on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Dip it in there. That's
what
great.
What is wrong with you men?
What do you want us to eat, Andrea?
Pizza, a little hamburger, a little cheeseburger.
We do, but we like our hummus.
A little ice cream.
Yes.
Hummus rocks. All protein.
Dean, when I first heard the news about George Michael passing away, I was blown away.
This is the transition of the year, by the way.
It is. It is. From hummus to George Michael.
We're going from hummus to George Michael, who is also Greek, so there is slightly Mediterranean connection there, yes.
But when you saw pictures of him, his last days, he looked like Marlon Brando. He was huge.
He was overweight.
Terrible.
I don't know how much weight he had put on, but... Like a lot of us, when you get older, you put on a little weight. It's seemingly more difficult to get off if you're not on the 100% hummus diet that clearly we have pointed out you all should be today.
Yes.
And that apparently now the cause of death. The official coroner's report came out less than an hour ago, and his official cause of death was dilated cardiomyopathy. And myocarditis, which is, as you know, I am, when I'm not on the air or covering entertainment, a doctor.
Really?
And I perform many heart surgeries myself. This is actually an cardiomyopathy is an inflammation of the heart muscle and is the inability to pump blood. So
what causes that?
It was his weight along with fatty liver. That was the other cause of death. And all of those things are related to being overweight.
That's a sad story, man.
Yeah. So since that was the official cause of death, nothing suspicious. The coroner said there will be no further inquest into the cause of his death. Very sad. 53 years old. Died last Christmas Day. Terribly sad story
right.
all the way along. And really, like, the last, 10, 15 years of his life, just riddled with legal troubles and personal problems. So I feel sad. I'm sad about the whole thing.
And we found out about Bill Paxton, right?
Yeah, he had had, speaking of heart trouble, he had had heart surgery. Not too long ago, he had had a replacement of the aortic valve in his heart, which is one of the main valves in the heart. I know this, number one, because as I had mentioned, I am a doctor. Number two, interestingly, my 93-year-old mother had the same surgery.
Really?
Had the aortic valve in her heart replaced, which is blows my mind that they're able to do that, number one. But especially in my mother's case, she was 93 years old when they did it. And did it successfully, and the doctors tell me they do it to 90-year-olds all the time, and it's very successful. Unfortunately, it turned out not to be for Bill Paxton. He was only 61 years old, had a similar surgery. Had the surgery a week ago, was doing well, recovering, and then had an aortic aneurysm that led to a stroke, and it was the stroke that killed Bill Paxton.
Jeez. That's a sad story. I mean, the outpouring of love on Twitter, Tom Hanks. There was another actor that I was kind of surprised that they were friends. Anything come to mind?
It was Jason Bateman.
Yes.
No, was it Jason?
No, it wasn't Jason. It was...
The guy from Arrested Development. Jason...
Will Arnett. Was it Will? Well, Jason Bateman is from Arrested Development. Was it Jason? I thought there was one more person.
I thought that I remember doing a story where he had written a beautiful memorial saying how close they were, that he was his closest friend in the business, how normal he was, how completely unaffected that he was, that his children and Bill Paxton's kids all grew up together. They all went fishing together. He said he will never recover from the death of Bill Paxton.
Wow.
That's how close a friend he was. And it was just a little bit of a surprise, I guess. I guess because one is more thought of as a dramatic actor and one is right. more a comedic actor. But
what is it with these celebrity deaths nowadays? Is it because of Twitter and Facebook, and there's so much information being thrown at you? You get the backstory now. When a celebrity passed away, let's say Bill Paxton passed away 20 years ago, you wouldn't really hear about, okay, he died because of surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But now you see his family on Twitter, and you get this outpouring of love from all these actors and actresses.
Definitely. Yeah, everybody's life is... If you choose, to be, I'm shocked at how much personal information people put out on Twitter
yeah.
of personal things that are going on in their lives, personal and sad and profoundly moving things that some people find comfort in sharing those things on social media.
Right.
I just like a nice picture of a kitty once in a while.
I'm tired of seeing cats on Facebook.
Playing right. piano.
It drives me crazy that they're getting a million views.
I enjoy a kitty, and I'm getting ready now because the weather's getting nicer. The onslaught of people sitting in a chaise lounge chair taking pictures of their feet.
Oh, yeah.
And
feet.
Putting them on Facebook. I do oh, sure. not. I'm telling everybody right
Spring
now.
Spring break.
I'm blocking you. Put feet pictures on my Facebook. I'm blocking you.
Even if they're nicely manicured.
I do not want to see anybody's feet on Facebook.
Coming
Put
up,
it on your own page. I don't want to see your toenails.
SNL's Pete Davidson, Instagram confession, and Chance the Rapper, of course, puts his money where his mouth is. Dean will have more details after traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean. Entertainment editor, Channel
823, we're talking with Dean Richards from WGN TV. Chance the Rapper.
What a great check for $1 million.
I love this guy. I love it. Thanks, Chicago, during the Grammy Awards. Loves this city, and he gives $1 million.
I think this, he's been taking a little heat on my social media. I posted when he met with Governor Rauner,
mm-hmm.
or as I like to call him, Bruce the Governor. That's his new rap name. I posted that they met, and people attacked him because, what's a singer doing meeting with the governor? I posted yesterday that he gave $1 million. People attacked him because he gave $1 million.
Of course.
What's that going to do? I mean, the guy can't win.
No.
On social media.
People are angry.
As I've said many times, if you say the sky is blue, someone is going to say the sky is red.
Yep.
It doesn't make any difference on social media. It's the land of the crazy often.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of them often also. But he donates $1 million to the Chicago Public Schools, because he wants to support arts programs, which are in jeopardy because of the massive budget cuts, the lack of a budget in the state of Illinois. There are a million reasons, a million ways to point your finger as to why this has happened. I applaud anybody who wants to be part of the solution.
Yep.
And that's what Chance the Rapper is doing. He's not just yapping his lips and going on social media and talking crazy. He sat down, he wrote a check for $1 million. He's trying to do something positive. So nothing but praise for Chance the Rapper in my book.
Dean, anybody who criticizes that, I'm curious as to why.
Because they're crazy. There was tons of people on Twitter yesterday.
You're giving all this money to the schools and basically saying you can use this for however you want for your various arts programs. Music, theater, whatnot.
People just want to be...
They're mean to be
mean. Some people just want to be the sky is red.
Yeah.
They just want to be adversarial no matter what you put on. No matter what you put on. I forget what it was. There was some completely innocuous, stupid entertainment story that somehow turned into a big political discussion that I just shake my head and I laugh.
That's all you can do.
And wish people would post pictures of their feet instead.
And
I almost would rather have that than the political argument.
Or their kitty cat.
Almost.
I found out that Chance the Rapper's 3 on his hat means Chicago. Third largest city?
Third largest city.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I found out today.
I always wondered what that was.
I don't know if that's true. Does Mike know? Are you sure?
He's now got three Grammy
Mike
awards.
Mike told us that this morning. I don't know if that's true.
It sounds
good
right.
Enough for me.
Yeah.
Now he's looking it up. Pete Davidson.
Oh, here's this
what
fake,
was his confession?
Fake media at work, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah, we don't have the facts. But some guy on Lower Michigan Avenue told me the story. It's good enough. Let's go with that.
SNL's Pete Davidson. I have not seen any of this. You got to tell me about it. He confessed something on Instagram.
He revealed on Instagram yesterday that he has had a serious drug addiction problem.
What?
And has revealed that for the first time in 8 years, he's completely sober, completely drug and alcohol free. That it was a serious problem. I like him so much on SNL.
Yeah.
And I wonder why he isn't on more often. And this was the reason why, a couple of reasons, that he is not on SNL more often. One is that he's had this drug addiction problem that he completely revealed on Instagram yesterday. He said that eliminating drugs from his life was a difficult hurdle to conquer, but he's now happy and hopeful for his future. He also revealed that often he could not perform on SNL because he has Crohn's disease, and the effects of the Crohn's disease made it often impossible for him to perform. The only way that he could was by smoking marijuana. He used, and I think still is using marijuana medicinally to lessen the effects of the Crohn's disease that he's had since he was 17 years old. So he's... He is like completely changing his life. A huge step yesterday in revealing publicly that he's going through all this. Thanks to his girlfriend, who I also did not know. His girlfriend is Larry David's daughter.
Boy, how tough would that be? Wow.
Dad,
tell me about this Crohn's disease. I don't understand why you're smoking pot.
Why is it called Crohn?
Why are you smoking pot?
And did you know that Pete Davidson's dad was a firefighter who was lost on 9/11 at the World Trade Center? So this guy's been through quite a bit. A
lot of layers here.
And is taking it one step at a time, and I applaud him for that.
Robert Osborne passed away yesterday. The outpouring of love on Facebook.
Sure is. One of the most beloved figures on certainly cable television, but the silver-haired host of Turner Classic Movies since 1994. I never knew that he was an actor. I never knew that he was best friends with Lucille Ball and once escorted Betty Davis to the Academy Awards when she needed a date. Who would ever think Betty Davis would be, not have a date to go to the Academy Awards? But it was Robert Osborne who accompanied her because he was friends with a lot of those old school stars. Passed away, died in his sleep yesterday in New York. He was 81 years old. Fountain of knowledge about motion pictures.
Oh, I'm sure.
Met him a couple of times. Couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been more wonderful and down-to-earth guy.
Dean, the actor that we were thinking of, that the tribute to Bill Paxton was Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe. Remember that?
Rob Lowe.
What he said?
Rob Lowe.
Wow. The outpouring of love. Dean?
Great. Not even remotely close to Jason Bateman.
No. And who did I say?
Not
Will
said,
Arnett.
You said
close.
Said Carrot Top. How did you get Carrot Top out of that? I don't know.
Oh, he had red hair. Wait, no. Great to talk to you, buddy.
Enjoy your hummus.
All right. Thank you, Dean Richards.
Bye, Dean. You guys are in your hummus.
Yes.
So Cassie David is Larry David's daughter.
Okay.
And she's dating
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. So if they
who
get
has
married,
Crohn's disease and smokes pot for medicinal purposes.
So if they get married, she'll
and
be
just quit drugs.
Cassie David Davidson.
Okay.
I don't know why I just came up with
the big thing. Story is next. We'll talk about all the tornadoes in the Midwest with Andrea on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The executive order signed by the president earlier today protecting the nation from foreign terrorist entry into the United States is a vital measure for strengthening our national security.
The Department of Justice believes that this executive order, just as the first executive order, is a lawful and proper exercise of presidential authority.
Many refer to it as a travel ban. We've always looked at it as a pause from those seven nations, now six, until we can get our arms around exactly how good we can vet individuals from those countries.
never a dull moment. 841, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Let's bring in from CNN, Ryan Nobles. Ryan, seriously, never a dull moment. Every day is something different, isn't it?
You know, Pete, it's interesting. You know, I'm on the weekends a lot on CNN, and we usually have a plan in place, and we talk about the night before. And usually I start as early as 6 or 7 a.m., and usually the plan that you put in place on Friday can easily be implemented on Saturday morning. Since Donald Trump became president, I don't think that we've held on to that Friday into Saturday morning plan yet. There's always something that happens early Saturday morning to completely upend things, because this White House is always making news, it seems, at every moment.
Well, we expect some tweets on Saturday morning from Trump right away. And last week was a bombshell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, up until this point, we've had him make some news via Twitter almost every weekend. But what happened this Saturday morning is like nothing we've ever had up until this point. I mean, the accusation that he made via Twitter on Saturday morning was just a bombshell. And we're still really starting to pick up the pieces from it. And I think this is going to be something that could have resonance throughout the rest of his administration until there's some sort of clarity. And if that clarity does come, that could make things even more complicated. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think we can understate how major those series of tweets were on Saturday morning.
He said that former President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower, and there was no basis for the claims. And he has not responded to it, has he?
No, he hasn't. And in fact, in many respects, the White House has made it even more confusing. They put out a statement on Sunday where Sean Spicer said, because of these reports about a potential wiretap of what they called it surveillance by the prior administration during the campaign, that there should be another investigation or an expansion of the existing investigation into the Russian hack of the election. But they don't tell us what those reports were. We still don't know where President Trump got this information. Now, and keep in mind, one of the tweets he said specifically that he had just learned. That would indicate that someone told him or he read something
right
that led him to believe that this was happening. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that was. Who told you that? Where are these reports? We still don't know where they are.
Wasn't it a Breitbart story or some sort of a
started with the talk show host
headline
on Thursday, then Breitbart ran with the headline on Friday.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Andrea, I think it's important to point out that's really just speculation.
Yeah.
We know, I think a lot of people have kind of put these pieces together. You know, they took Mark Levin talking about it on a Thursday, and then Breitbart writing a story on Friday, and then the president tweeting about it Saturday morning. And there are, we have reporting at CNN that Breitbart article was being passed around the White House. But no one has definitively said that President Trump read that Breitbart article or heard Mark Levin and then decided to go with this. And so, you know, that's all just speculation, too. So, and honestly, that doesn't really match up with what the tweets were saying. So if he read that Breitbart article, is that what he's saying, that he learned that that his phones were tapped? At no part in the Breitbart article or in Mark Levin's talk does he say that his actual phones were tapped. You know, they talk about surveillance being taken place of Trump associates at Trump Tower. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is still really murky. And the problem with this, and Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse kind of alluded to this, is that it's you know, you're just further eroding the crisis of confidence that we have in this country. You know, nobody knows what to believe or who to believe it from.
That is so true.
The president just making that worse.
Right. And James Clapper and Michael Hayden both yesterday saying that this could not have happened. There's a whole process that you have to go through. So will Comey come out and say, you know what, this didn't happen? And what will that do to the relationship between the FBI and the Trump administration?
But, Andrea, let's take, for instance, let's create a scenario where that happens, okay, right, where James Comey comes out and makes some sort of a declarative statement that, yes, I can tell you definitively that the FBI at no point conducted surveillance on the Trump administration or the Trump campaign. Right. All that's going to do is raise another group of questions, because even if you look, like if you unpack the statement that President Obama's spokesman put out, where he said that President Obama never authorized the surveillance of an American citizen. Well, that doesn't mean that they weren't conducting surveillance on a Russian operative who happened to call a Trump administration official or a Trump campaign official, and they were then conducting surveillance on that person by an extension. Mm. So, you know, what can Jim Comey say? What statement could he make that would erase all this doubt? And then, you know, there's a whole swath of Americans that don't really trust James Comey. Right. You know, there are a lot of Democrats, frankly, that don't trust James Comey for the way that he conducted the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email mm-hmm. server during the campaign. So, yeah, I mean, this is such a big problem because, as I said before, we don't know who to believe.
Don't it's you feel true. Like it's high school kids running the country? I mean, it's crazy. It's something different every single day and every Saturday morning. We wait for it. We wait for Trump's tweet and last Saturday a bombshell. That's just crazy.
Well, and I think that, you know, and I've told Steve this before, I think what's interesting about this president versus prior presidents is that they work. Most presidents tried so hard not to make news. They did everything they possibly could to parse every single thing they said.
Right.
And be very clear about it and have, you know, specific information to back up their claims. And this president doesn't operate that way. He shoots from the hip. Mm-hmm. You know, if he feels something, he expresses that. And, you know, I would even give him the benefit of the doubt that he believes that his phones were tapped. I think there's probably, enough to go on that, you know, this isn't something that he's just making up. But my point is, and I think a lot of people believe that if you believe that, you know, fill us in on where you're getting this information right. so that we can feel a little bit more comfortable about the claim. And I think it's also important to point out that if this is true on either end of it, if he's accusing the former president of illegally wiretapping him, or conversely, if there was the ability for an investigator to obtain a warrant to conduct surveillance on the president-elect or the leading Republican candidate for president, you're talking about the most earth-shaking political scandal that we've ever had in American history on either end of it.
Right.
So that's why the clarity is necessary.
That's exactly how my brain works. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? Why would you throw it out there on Twitter? And are you trying to shift the focus from Russia? Or is this true? Even if it's true, keep the information to yourself right. until you have...
The timing, I think, is curious, as you said, because it was 2 days after Jeff Sessions recused himself and they had that whole back and forth where he said he shouldn't and then Sessions did. Yeah. Now with Sessions having recused himself, Ryan, how will that add to the Russian mess? Because you have the nation's top attorney now who has recused himself and can investigate Russia, which are perhaps the most serious allegations.
Well, what I think is happening, Andrea, is, you know, I think what you're doing is you're further creating a scenario where this investigation is becoming more and more political, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, initially the plan was you were going to have kind of a bipartisan agreement, especially on the Senate side. You had both Republicans and Democrats who were in agreement that there needed to be some sort of legitimate apolitical investigation into this. And people like Marco Rubio and John McCain said they wouldn't put their name to it unless they felt otherwise. But now you add this new wrinkle where you've got the president saying, I want the former president as made part of this investigation. And you have the House committee saying, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. We're gonna be complicit with that, even though there isn't any reason, you know, there's no smoke there, so to speak, for us to go that far.
What
you're going to do is you're going to have two reports issued, one from the House and one from the Senate, that may draw different conclusions. And everybody's just going to throw their hands up and say, well, this is just politics. We don't really know the answer. So that's why I think, to a certain extent, the president has put himself in a position where the only legitimate outcome is some sort of a special prosecutor, an independent person, who doesn't come from either political spectrum, and I just don't see a scenario which either side's going to agree to that.
We're not even 60 days in, guys. Crazy. And we didn't even we don't have time to talk about Dr. Ben Carson yesterday comparing immigrants to slaves. I mean, how do you make a statement like that?
Well, the interesting thing about Ben Carson is he said stuff like this before. This is not... He alluded to this kind of idea about, you know, Africans being brought to this country as slaves, as immigrants before. And, you know, one of our commentators, Neil Malika Henderson, said this morning that, you know, he's a really gifted neurosurgeon, but he's not a politician, even though he's been in politics for a long time.
Yep.
He doesn't seem to understand how your words matter when you're speaking. And especially in this position now where he is kind of representing the voice of a lot of minorities across the country in housing and urban development. You just have to be a lot more careful with your language.
His first speech as the Secretary of HUD.
Right.
And he says that. Wow. Ryan Nobles from CNN. What's your Twitter? People can follow you.
Yep. Ryan Nobles with one N. Right. So thanks for following me and thanks for having me on, guys.
Ryan, you're the best. Ryan. Talk to you soon.
He's fantastic. All right,
bye-bye. All right.
He's great.
That's just, I mean.
I know, it's like, where do you go? You have your whole list. I mean, Russia, HUD, wiretaps,
wow.
Pence.
Wow. I don't know what to say. Sounds like Irish music. Here's your chance to go to Ireland with me and WGN. 9 days in August. We depart August 10th. Dublin, Derry, and more. You can spend the night in a castle. I wouldn't even know what to do. I've never been.
Oh, you'll find stuff to do in a castle.
Never even driven by a castle before, let alone stay in a castle.
I picture it being, you know, medieval and...
Dave, you ever stay in a castle?
I have never stayed in a castle that I can remember.
Okay.
So I think it's a pretty safe bet that I never stayed in one.
Well, you probably weren't like college. Drunk and stumbled into one.
I don't think so.
They didn't have castles in Evanston, did they?
I lived in a house there when I was a student that was kind of as big as a castle.
Was it a frat house?
It was a former sorority house.
Oh.
But it had been... It was a private residence, and they rented out a couple of rooms to students.
I've never been in a castle, and I'm going to stay in a castle with WGN listeners in 9 days in August as we go to Ireland. But the highlight is day four. We're going to be in Belfast. We're going to see an intimate concert with Van Morrison. Only 350 seats in the theater. We have a block of seats. We're all going to sit together. We're going to see Van Morrison. I've never been to Ireland. I've never seen Van Morrison. I am so pumped for this
trip. You're going to have a great time.
If you need more information, it's on my Facebook page. Just search Pete McMurray, or you can go to SteveBertrandTravel.com. Steve put this together. He calls me last week. He's like, would you be interested? I'm like, what? What do you mean? Are you sure you got the right number? Are you trying to call John Williams? This is Pete McMurray. You sure you got that right? SteveBertrandTravel.com or 847-606-6065. 9 days in August, heading to Ireland to see Van Morrison and check out the beautiful countryside.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's 8:58. Quick break. Coming up, we'll talk to Troy Murray from the Blackhawks. Boy, they're on a roll right now. It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Here's Panarin, 2-for-3 on the season. Picks up the puck at center ice. Cruises over the Islander line down the left wing for the win. Cuts in front. Shoots. He scores! Hawks win in the shootout! Final tally, the Blackhawks have won 8 straight games on the road for a new franchise record. They've won 7 in a row overall. They've won 12 of their last 13 games.
It's fun, but I still think that there's, you know, we want to just keep moving along here and keep trying to get points. And we did play some tough buildings and some tough games and finding a way to win a lot of nights differently. And so let's keep the pressure on it.
Nine ten. I feel like I have dyslexia. I can't even pronounce it. I've lost my mind today. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Troy Murray is always brought to you by our good friends at Nuveen. The Hawks host the Ducks Thursday night. You can hear them alongside John Weideman right here on WGN. It's big Troy Murray. Troy, I had the best seats ever I've had in my entire life when I went to the Penguins game Wednesday. And looking at the players' faces, I said this to Coach Q on Friday. They are smiling and laughing on the ice. They're genuinely having a good time, which I love.
Yeah, you know, it's been a real fun run. And everybody's been smiling on and off the ice when they're coming to and from the rinks. You know, everybody's got just a good attitude right now. And that kind of, you know, goes along with the record, obviously. And they're having fun. They're winning and they're enjoying what's going on here. But the reality is there's 17 games left in the span of 31 days. So they're going to buckle down here and get busy the next about a little bit over a month, I guess.
Can they keep it up for the next month?
Well, I don't think they'll probably keep up at the pace that they are at right now. But at the same time, they're playing real consistent hockey. And I think that that's kind of one thing that's crept into their game that Quenneville really likes is the consistency that he's pretty much had through a 60-minute effort. Maybe the New York Islanders, the first couple of periods, weren't their best periods, but Crawford played great, kept them in the game. They were able to tie it up late, in about a minute and a half to go against the Islanders, and won that one in the shootout. And then you looked at the game against the Nashville Predators, who are a really good hockey team, back and forth effort. But you know, you're finding ways to win these hockey games, and they'll just keep on roll as much as they can and see what happens. You never know. They could chase down Minnesota. Not too long ago, I would have said that really wasn't going to be a possibility, but it certainly is now.
Yeah, it's 1 point. Minnesota has 2 games in hand, and they play each other here on Sunday. So it's within the realm of possibility. How do they manage, Troy, this schedule that's, I think it's 17 games in 31 days starting on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, Quenneville actually, between Saturday night and Thursday's game against the Anaheim Ducks, he gave the senior, the core group of guys, several days off here. So that's going to give them that opportunity to rest up a little bit more, because it's going to be a grind. And if you're going to play these many games, which everybody does now, the schedule just is so compact that, you know, you have to manage what you do away from the ice. Quenneville basically has said that we're not going to be practicing a whole lot here down the stretch just because of the amount of games that you're playing. So you want the players to rest up as much in between. The one good thing that he has, David Pete, is the ability to trust that core group of guys that even though they're not practicing, they're preparing themselves the right way to play the games.
We're talking with Troy Murray, 21 players in Blackhawks history. 21 players in Blackhawks history, Troy, to skate in 700 games. Jonathan Toews added to that list. That's a huge deal.
It is, and I just think that, you know, the longevity, I think Seabrook was not too long ago. This core group of guys has just been together, and they have so much fun, and they have grown up since young kids in the National Hockey League to where they are now with kids and, you know, moving forward in life. But it's just been really impressive with all these guys. Jonathan Toews, you know, the way that, he struggled in some ways offensively. He's back playing the way that he needs to be, and you know, for a franchise to be so successful with the core group of guys that are still around, you lost Patrick Sharp, and, you know, obviously you have those salary cap concerns that are going to hurt the core group of guys every now and then. But with this core group of guys being able to stick with this franchise for so long, there's just such a great identity recognition with the fans and the core group of guys. I mean, it's all about this. You know, the Keith and the Seabrook and Jalmerson and Kane, Hosa, sure. Toews, these guys, I mean, it's just incredible that they're sticking with one team as long as they have. And for these guys to be as successful as they have and, you know, playing 700 games with one organization, it's just a real good testament to what this core group is all about.
With Hammer coming back and with Oduya apparently ready to play now, how do you see the defensive pairings?
Well, I think that Joel kind of has gone out there and said that we'll probably put Johnny Oduya and Nicholas Jalmerson back together and see how that works. That was a tremendous pairing for the Blackhawks to win the Stanley Cup. Puts Keith and Seabrook back together. And then you have some real nice options. And, you know, guys like Michael Kempney have come a long way. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, the veteran Brian Campbell. These guys have all been great additions, and defensively, this team hasn't really struggled, you know, whatsoever. Goaltending's been great. So, you know, he's going to have to make some decisions. I would assume that the way that he's kind of had his pairings all set up here the last little while, that Campbell and Trevor Van Riemsdyk will be a pairing. Johnny Oduya, Nicholas Jalmerson, Keith and Seabrook will be the six guys that they kind of focus on here. And Michael Kempney and Michael Roosevelt will be sliding in and out.
Boy, you give up really nothing for Johnny Oduya. Here's a guy that knows the system. The players really like him. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Everybody was happy about this.
Yeah, it is. And I think that Stan identifies it. And he said, you know, we like bringing back players that we're familiar with and our locker room is familiar with. So it's not a huge transition for these guys to come inside the room and trying to get, hold of the personality in there. But he focuses on the fact that, you know, we're not getting players just to come back here because they're good guys and they played here before. You know, the Blackhawks really feel that Johnny Oduya has a lot left. And I think that that's the important part here. It's just because it is a good fit coming in the locker room, there still has to be the ability to play the game at a high level. So it was a no-brainer, as you said, for him to come back in. He's been struggling a little bit with the injury that has hampered him here in the last little while. But he did play one game before the trade. He's ready to go. They sat him out these other days just to get him set for, you know, the stretch run here. And, you know, I think it's a great pickup. I think it's a tremendous pickup.
If they're going to bring back former players, though, then why, when Darling got hurt, didn't they go and bring back Eric Samborski to back up Corey Crawford? Huh? No one's talked about that.
Where's Ray Emery?
Ray Emery. 7 games in a row, Troy. 12 out of 13, right?
That sounds about right.
Okay, what's our weak spot here? Because everything's clicking right now.
I don't know if there is. I mean, I think that when Stan kind of looked at the team at the trade deadline and I, you know what, if things weren't progressing for Nick Schmaltz and Ryan Hartman and, you know, Tanner Carroll and these young guys that are going to be a big part of this team for a lot of years, if those guys weren't progressing in the right direction, I mean, Nick Schmaltz is playing some tremendous hockey along with Jonathan Toews and Richard Panik. You know, if you didn't feel that they couldn't get the job done moving forward, Stan, I think, would have filled in with, you know, another depth player, which he's done before. But he's very comfortable in what this team has right now, top to bottom.
Right.
The good rotation, four lines up front. You've got great, you know, eight great defensemen now that can play in any given situation. So right now, I don't know where the weakness would be. Obviously, if you look at Corey Crawford being in a position right now where there's really an inexperienced backup in Jeff Glass, with Scott Darling out, you know, heaven forbid anything, you know, the depth position right there without Darling's a little bit inexperienced, but I don't think that's going to be an issue once Scott Darling gets back in.
Hawks host the Ducks Thursday night at 7:30. You can hear him alongside John Weideman right here on 720 WGN. Troy, great to talk to you, man.
Pete and Dave, thanks for having me on. Hey, Dave, by the way, congratulations on the Wildcats. How cool was that?
It's been very cool. It's been a fun season. You know what it's like when you're following a team that's winning and a team that's tasting success and hasn't really had it in a while. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know, John and I were talking on the broadcast the other day because both of us heard your call when they got in, which was just a tremendous call. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks.
Everybody heard that. It was on Sports Center. It was on Sports Center all day that day. Troy, thanks.
thanks, guys. Buddy.
All right. Troy Murray, and speaking of the Cats, spot the purple in the studio. Remember, we're live on CLTV. If you spot the purple, I mean, you really can't miss it.
No, not today.
No.
It's pretty obvious
really,
today.
You can't miss the purple today in the studio.
It might just be hanging around somewhere.
Yes, we have a nice Cats prize pack. Does that include Dave Ennett going to their house?
Oh, yeah, you should
Wouldn't
go to
be
their
nice?
House.
No, we want people to want this prize pack.
Oh, okay. 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Go Cats.
Spot the purple, 312-981-7200. We have a Cats prize pack. It's 924. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, who is sick, hopefully back tomorrow. Pleasant surprise for you guys, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
Woo. I got the text last night.
We were giddy last night.
We get to see Pete.
No, you weren't.
Dave texted me. He said, yay, and I texted Dave back.
Oh, we
and
did.
I went,
we totally did.
We were...
I mean, we're sorry Steve's not here, but we're very glad you're here.
Uh-huh. Very glad to see you today.
Yeah, you look great.
This is great.
Yes.
Great. The Cats play the winner of Ohio State and Rutgers. Okay, and that is Thursday night?
That will be at Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I don't think Rutgers should be in the Big Ten.
It bothers me that they are.
Me too.
And Maryland too.
Yes, and Nebraska too.
I guess I'm okay with Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska, when they came in, I wasn't real high on the idea.
The Corn Hoopers?
The Corn Huskers.
Corn Huskers.
When they came in, I think it's been great. I think they've been a great addition to the Big Ten. And I think down the road, once everybody kind of gets used to it,
Rutgers,
it'll be different with Rutgers and Maryland.
So what are they now, the Big 14?
It doesn't matter how many. There are 14 institutions, but it's still the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm. Can we go back to talking about mid-majors? Maybe later.
Sure. Yeah. Illinois State, Bradley Braves.
Yeah.
Spot the purple in the studio. You can't miss it today. 312-981.
No one see it.
7200.
No one's finding it.
People are calling, and I think they're hanging up.
It's like,
wait a second. That's not Cochran's voice.
It's like Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL.
It's like I spy. I spy with my little eye, the purple in the studio eye.
Now, do you guys fill out your brackets? I know you do the football thing during the season. What's that called? The Wang-Dang?
Wang-Dang Doodle.
Wang-Dang Doodle?
I don't know if we're going to do it for the tournament, are we?
I got to be honest. I never understood that. I even played it. I didn't understand it.
The tournament or the Wang-Dang Doodle?
We didn't know why they understood it this year.
Oh.
I still don't get it.
Dave had a problem with the scoring this year.
I still don't get
it. The whole format.
Hold that thought. Let's go to Sharon.
Yep.
Sharon, where is the purple in the studio?
It's hanging on your microphone, those beads.
Yes!
All right, Sharon.
Nice job.
Andrea, thank you for your hint.
Oh, you're welcome, Sharon. Absolutely.
I like how we all look at the camera when she
says that.
I know,
I'm like giving her a thumbs up.
All right, I'll take that off the microphone right now. Sharon, hold on. We'll set you up with the cat's prize pack, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Okay. March Madness, I love. Are you guys filling out a bracket, yes or no?
Yes.
I have to recuse myself.
Oh.
No, I will fill one out, of course.
For fun?
This is what I love about
absolutely.
You. Can I talk about a Dave Ennett like he's not here? You're a fan of sports, but you're a fan of Northwestern. Okay, are you going to have them going far in the tournament?
Well, it depends on the bracket. Depends where they are.
And if there's money on the line.
Playing.
So do you...
I will not bet on games that I'm calling.
Okay. Pete Rose. Do you bet with your head or your heart?
You mean betting in the non-monetary sense.
Right, just for pride.
Right.
It's mixed. I think most people it's mixed. I mean,
think there's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, don't you think, Pete? There's nobody says it. I'm strictly going on their RPI and I'm going this and that matchup and conference and everything. Everybody's like, yeah, but I really want to see them win, so I'm going to pick them.
I'm already in three pools.
But they don't have the bracket yet.
I know, but I'm in 100%.
Oh, okay.
They send out the emails.
One. Yeah, I think you and I are in the same one.
Really?
One of the same ones.
Which one?
The Koss one.
Oh, I wasn't invited.
Oh, that's just a sports one.
John DeKoss has a bracket?
No, it's Koss and Friends, K-O-S.
Oh. I'll
tell you about
it after. I was going to say.
And it's a friendly wager. It's just for pride.
Uh-huh, of course it is.
It's just for pride.
Wink, wink.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the ones that pay out after each round of gifts. I mean, not
of
money.
Pride.
Yes.
Of overwhelming happiness.
The big story in pastries coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Do you remember? 9:39, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Boy, we got chocolate everywhere, don't we? And pastries.
We sure do.
The French Pastry School is having the Mayor's Cup, a youth pastry competition. In studio to talk about it, the two founding chefs of the school, Chef Jackie and Chef Sebastian. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys. We're live on CLTV so they can see the chocolates that you brought in that we've been gobbling down during commercials. We're eating like crazy. What did you bring us, first of all?
The product actually made by our students from last week's chocolate candy class. Lots of truffles, chocolate rochers. There's some little chocolate cakes, a little chocolate pâte de fruits, we call them. There's some jam and some cookies also.
Usually Andrea is talking, and you haven't heard her say one word because she's just feeding her face right now.
I'm trying to get the props.
Okay,
you're
holding them up for CLTV.
What is it about the chocolates and the truffles that make them so good? This isn't just the truffle that you go get at the
store. It's chocolate.
It's the quality of the ingredients. That's the most important thing, quality of ingredients.
And everything's made from scratch.
Everything is made from scratch and fat-free.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Did I give up chocolate for Lent?
No. Pass those
pizza.
Over.
Oops. Ice cream. What is the youth pastry competition? Can you talk about that?
Yes, of course. Well, this is the first ever youth pastry competition, and we're partnering with Mayor Emmanuel and the city to build that mentoring and vocational competition. So it's open for all students enrolled in high school, and they have to be age 14 to 19. They have to be from Chicago, so everyone must be from one of the Chicago's 50 wards. And it's very simple. It's a great extracurricular activity. Everyone should apply. All we need is your best cupcake recipe and a little caption, 50 word or less, so
okay.
That's very easy, of what inspires you to bake. And the winner will win a $23,700 scholarship. So
this is
an incredible, extracurricular activity and an easy way for anyone that is not looking at 4 years of college, someone that is... a great baker that wants to do that for a living. We will have a program along the way to mentor and coach the selected finalists. we will select 12 finalists, each one coming from a different world.
Okay.
And we have all of our chefs and master chefs that will train and coach the finalists, teach them a little trick of the trade, industry techniques, and how to, along the way, come up with their funnel piece.
Knowing the mayor like we all do, he's all about the mentoring programs. How did you hook up with the mayor with this idea?
He just, we just been working with him, and the idea just came naturally because we are all about mentoring ourselves. We are the product of mentoring ourselves, and I don't know, it just came naturally. We just said this was never created in Chicago, so let's just make it happen.
It's a great
and
idea.
Give the kids a chance to get a career in pastry.
This is such a wonderful idea. So we'll eat chocolate like this and say it tastes magnificent, but I think one of the greatest jobs in the world would be judging. What do you look for? What makes one cupcake or one piece of chocolate or one truffle even stand out from the other?
Obviously, the look appeal is important, but then the different textures are also an important factor, and then the overall taste, yeah? And then after that, there's going to be a theme. The theme is going to be Chicago for the first competition. And so the competitors will have to stick with the theme.
Oh, okay, you said they have to make cupcakes.
Yes.
So what's the key to a good cupcake? Keep it moist. Don't overcook it.
Keep it moist, but moisture needs to come from natural ingredients, you know. Don't just use oil, you know.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you use? What's the natural ingredient
it's
to keep
butter.
It moist? Butter,
yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. No calories,
he looked at me, he's
right?
Like, it's butter, no, Pete. What are you? What's wrong with you, man?
Right.
Crazy.
Is it better to go outrageous like a red velvet or a carrot, or is it better to stick with the basics?
You do whatever you want, you know. We want students who show everything they can do. We don't want them to stick with one type of cupcake, you know.
Can you put too many ingredients in, like,
yes, of course,
mint and lavender,
of course,
and,
oh, yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
If you put too many ingredients, then you don't know what you eat anymore.
Right, yeah. Right. I feel like kids nowadays, they all want to cook. My son, I have an 11-year-old, we watch the Food Network all the time. How did you two get into it?
Well, in Europe, we have those mentoring program and those trade schools that are forever has been there. If you don't want to go to a four-year college, this is the path to go. There's no other way. So we naturally get trained in all different crafts. And it's well recognized. It's not like here, which is changing nowadays, but kids that, again, don't want to go on for academic studies, they are forced to enter a trade school, which you need to graduate to open your own business and yourself hire apprentices. So we were just follow the natural way of trade schools in France. And in those trade schools, there are fantastic mentoring program and qualified teachers. And they not only teach you the trade, but they teach you the philosophy behind each one of those trades, the respect of the craft, of the product, and how to succeed in business, you know, once you open your own, which is
sure
key.
That's tough stuff.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
So how do people, there's parents listening right now thinking, wow, my kid loves to cook. How can they get involved?
They need to tell their children to apply.
That's it.
Yep. To go to the frenchpastryschool.com.
That's it.
And right on the front page, there's a place to register and to fill out the form. It's very, very easy. frenchpastryschool.com.
Okay.
And we're also asking all the aldermen to tell all of the kids in culinary schools, or they don't even have to be in culinary schools, but just in high schools, to apply, because you have a chance for a scholarship and a career in baking.
Right. What is your go-to dish, the pastry dish? Mm. What's your go-to that you make that your family wants?
I love everything. That's the problem.
What does your family ask for around the holidays?
You know, it's funny because they see it every day, so they're like, oh, not again.
Truffles again?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah. I would never say that, just FYI.
Yeah. Ice cream is a big one. They love ice cream.
Ice cream. Yeah. Really? And bread. They love bread.
Well, of course, everybody loves bread.
Like freshly baked bread.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's the key to ice cream? What do you have? What are the ingredients? I mean, besides the main
ones.
When
it comes straight out of the machine, that's the key. Yeah. It's so smooth.
Soft serve.
You know what, though? I've never had ice cream like I've had in France. I know it's the gelato, and it's much. Mm-hmm. What makes it so different?
The ingredients.
Okay, that's it again.
The quality of the ingredients.
That's, all natural?
Yes, all natural. Yeah. And also where the ingredients come from, different fruit from different farm, and the milk from different farm, and so on. You know,
it's much lighter. Gelato is much lighter than like a
less
heavy
fat sugar. Also. Yeah. Less fat, less sugar.
So you can have two a day, right?
Three.
Chef Jackie and Chef Sebastian in studio with us. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. We're live on CLTV. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us. Chef Jackie and Chef Sebastian from the French Pastry School. They're having their Mayor's Cup, a youth pastry competition where parents, if you're listening right now, you can get your kids involved. Anybody listening right now, if you have kids in school, they can get involved. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. High school students aged 14 to 19 can all apply at FrenchPastryschool.com. And they just need to present to us their best cupcake recipe.
Okay.
And a caption of 50 words or less on what inspires them to bake.
What is your favorite cupcake? Chocolate? Vanilla?
Chocolate.
Chocolate?
Mm.
Well, of course, you guys brought in three bags of chocolate. Of course.
No, they didn't, because afterwards people are going to go, where's the chocolate?
What's your favorite thing to make? I know it's a French pastry school, but is it entrees? Is it pastries? What is it?
Tarts. I love to make tarts.
Why is that? It's just fun?
Classics, good old tarts. Never goes wrong. It's like the pies here, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, lately, I'm into breads.
Breads.
Yeah, breads and croissants and things like this.
I feel like no one makes homemade bread anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
That's what we were saying off the air. That's the best thing about when you go to Paris, you get a baguette, or you go and you just get a little bread and a little cheese and sit outside.
Yeah, go to a boulangerie, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's so wonderful.
What's your favorite bread to make?
Oh, it's called miche. It's like a big, round, big loaf of bread. Yeah.
We're also pressed for time. My mother made everything. Even to this day, she'll see a recipe on TV, she'll make it until she gets it right. She's just one of those people that loves to cook.
Mm.
But, you know, nowadays, I would never make bread because I can just go to the store or a nice bakery here in Chicago and get it. Right?
You have time to make it.
I guess I have time.
Yes,
but,
you do.
I mean, just do I?
Give yourself the time.
Dave, you're not making bread.
Well, I was going to say, you don't get that satisfaction going to the store and buying that bread.
Well, the satisfaction is eating it.
I think there's some satisfaction in making it yourself.
I know it's fun making things. Sure. Yes, cooking.
How about the aroma? Oh, my gosh. Then your whole house smells like fresh bread the whole day.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Definitely so. Chefs, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good to see you too. And again, you want to stress for the parents, if they're listening right now, anybody can get involved in this.
Yes, anybody.
14 to 19, high school enrolled in one of Chicago's 50 wards.
Are you the judges?
Yes.
We will.
Oh. Okay.
You look, watch out.
They look kind of tough, don't they?
I don't know. I was going to say, they seem pretty nice.
No, we're not.
FrenchPastryschool.com for all the information. Thank you, chefs.
Thank you.
It's 720 WGN.